It is the Friday Night Hangout, January 1st, 2016. Everybody's so excited to get back. Kristen is in her jammies because she knows it's going to be a good one. She needs to be as comfortable as possible. We'll do a quick round of intros here before we get going here. I know it takes a few minutes for people to jump in, but we got from Newfoundland, we got Mike with us tonight. How's it going, Mike?
Good, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. From the Valley, we got Lee, Hoogly Beer and Booze Reviews. How's it going, Lee?
Good.
Excellent. From Halifax, we got Krista of BiteSizeTravel.ca.
Happy New Year!
And on, in at Dartmouth, fresh, newly arrived, Dan is with us tonight. How's it going, buddy?
Oh, just in time for all the wonderful snow. Yay!
Well, we're definitely going to talk about the snow a little bit later here as we're going through some stuff. And, of course, I'm in Halifax also, so it was nice to see everybody here. We took a little bit of a break to get, it was good timing to have a little break. Also, the fact that I spilt water on my laptop, so I really needed some time to pick up a new computer, basically. So that's really why there was a break on the Hangout. So it was nice to have a little break, a little chance to recharge a bit and enjoy the holidays and such. So, but before we get going with some of the topics here, folks, we're going to do a quick round of what we're drinking tonight. So we'll start with Dan. What are you drinking tonight, sir?
Well, I was given a gift from a very fine set of gentlemen, you, and I believe Keith as well. And I'm cracking open the first bottle here, which is Grand Cuvée, the Porter Baltique.
Yeah, from Les Trois Mousquetaires, which is
Nice.
And the thing to note on that one, I believe the number on that is 10.5. Just going to pour this in this lovely glass here. I don't know if you can still make out that design there.
Yeah,
but
I can make it out.
Yeah, fantastic. So I will report shortly about how wonderful this will taste.
And this is, I believe, a reserve which was aged in rum barrels, I believe. So it's packs a punch. Dan will be going to know all Fallburner tonight after that one. So
I have to check my cellar to see if I have any left. I thought I saved one, but maybe the wife drank it. Gone for 6 months.
Krista, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking nothing tonight because I drank everything last night.
Oh. Of course, a great New Year's Eve. But now, were you out on the town?
I was. I went to the Stubborn Goat for their New Year's dinner, and it was a 4-course meal, and every course came with a cocktail, and it was a lot.
Nice.
It was a night of heavy lifting. So today has been a day of doing nothing.
Excellent. Lee, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking the Coastal Lager from Spindrift.
All right, Spindrift. And how are you liking it?
Excellent. It's one of the few craft lagers I actually like. Pretty damn good stuff.
All right. And Spindrift, they expanded their storefront hours to include Saturday. And you can fill up your growlers and such. Let's see here. Looks like they expanded their territory to east of Newfoundland. So Mike might see some Spindrift.
I had some last week, and I liked it too.
All right. Excellent. So Spindrift is doing the quick expansion there. So doing pretty good. So excellent. And Mike, what are you drinking tonight?
I've got the last glass of my Irish Red homebrew.
All right.
Oh, nice.
Just pulled it out of the kegerator, and I got about half a glass. It was good.
It was good. Excellent. Excellent. And I am drinking the the camera's here this time, different. The Propeller Russian Revolution Imperial Stout, the 8% behemoth here. So
Tis the season for it.
is, and since I brought all my beer to Dan's house last night to work for the levee, I didn't bring any back, so Propeller was the only thing that was open today, so that's that.
That's the best bang for your buck in Nova Scotia as far as big beers go, too.
Yeah, that's true. Now, one thing that I noticed, though, that I've been, I also picked up the double IPA for earlier today, and I'm starting to get out of favor of that double IPA from Propeller.
It's been very inconsistent the last 3 or 4 years.
However, Propeller, they seems like they have another one-hit wonder release at the breweries. They call it the Jaromir Lager, a 6.8 Imperial Czech Pilsner. Looks like they have that for a limited time, so for those who are Propeller fans, you may want to check that out if you're in town. All right, so now we got a bunch of people in. Just to let you know that you can comment on the comment section on the Avoiding George show page or via YouTube. Lee is telling me that the comments are acting kind of wonky for the last little while.
Yeah, it's not working on YouTube. Both chats are disabled.
Okay, so that means Twitter is what you need to do. Yeah. We got a new hashtag right here somewhere. So instead of Friday Night Hangout, it's FN Hangout. So use that hashtag, and we'll read some tweets later on then.
Or the Instagrams, as I have just tweeted on the Instagram. What's it called, the equivalent of tweeting on Instagram?
Instagramming.
Instagramming?
Yeah, I think Instagram is the verb. Or just gramming if you're...
Gramming. What if I have old-style record player, like a gramophone? I mean, I'm confused now.
I don't know. You'd have to ask one of the kids today to get a definitive answer.
What? Okay. You need to send a Snapchat or get on YikYak.
Oh, God. What's that one that you only have, like, one word? You're just tweet, like, sending the message with one word, like yup or something.
It's yo.
Yo, that's it, yo.
Man, that died pretty quick. Nobody's talking about that anymore.
Yeah, because one of the podcasts I listened to, they used to be all over it, and then they haven't mentioned it in forever.
Yeah, it was the gist.
The gist was all over it.
Yeah, all over that. No, I've been doing some Yik Yak, and I got to say, the Bedford Yik Yak is... pretty sad.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty much a university thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty much a university thing. If you get, now for those who don't know what it is, it basically is an anonymous messaging app, but it will only pick up message within like a few kilometer radius. So it's great if you're taking the bus, because when you start, you get the certain fees, but then as you get closer to the universities, then you start seeing all these messages about courses and all the stuff that, you know, I don't care about anymore. So. Okay, let's start with our first topic here, which is was posted by Lori, and Lori should join us here in a little bit. Is the affluenza teen? It's been in the news, and this is a new made-up word for this year, affluenza. And does it? Now, I thought when I first heard this, I thought it was somebody with actually the flu that killed a bunch of people at school, but no, this was something else.
That guy.
Yeah, that guy.
But he did, I was going to say, he did kill people, I believe, right?
Yeah. He killed four people.
Not by the flu. Not by influenza. No. No, by ramming, right?
No, by a dirty little sociopath is why he fucking killed four people.
He plowed into them while driving drunk in a pickup truck. They were, like, on the side of the road, like, changing a tire.
And during the trial, I think the lawyer came up with the term affluenza as being...
They got a psychiatrist to come up with the term affluenza.
So basically, it's... He comes from a rich family, and he just doesn't know any better?
He was raised with so much wealth that his parents never instilled in him any concept of consequences. Mm-hmm. And thus, it is okay for him to kill four people.
Yeah.
He's also rich and white and in Texas, so do with that information what you will as well.
Yeah, he gets a slap on the wrist. Some black kid with a BB gun gets shot.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
So he was sentenced to, I think it was 10 years of probation, and he failed to report to his probation officer, and then almost immediately before that, somebody posted this video on Twitter and like tagged like the police and all these things of him drinking at a party, which is a violation of one of the terms of his parole. So then he and his mommy went on the run. So
went on the run to Mexico.
To Mexico.
Yeah, this is one of those times where you wish one of those stories came out of Mexico about white tourists being killed.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that it didn't go like on a bender in Mexico while they were there, too.
Well, he did. He went to a strip club and got drunk and couldn't pay his bill. And so the strip club boss and one of the bouncers took him back to his hotel, and his mommy had to pay his bar bill. Like, this guy is just a piece of human garbage, like, who keeps getting these breaks in life.
Yeah. Do you know sharks, when sharks go through the ocean and have those sucker fish that kind of suck onto it and fall on? That is him. That's his spirit animal.
A remora.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh.
Now, good news, I guess he's back in the States. The authorities sent him back to the border, and
well, it's good news for Mexico, anyway.
Well, he hasn't been extradited yet. His mother has been, but he has some legal business to take care of first. So he's been transferred. He's in a Mexico City prison now, where they keep like migrants, basically, not Mexicans. So hopefully that works out well for him.
Mm. Maybe I should keep him in a Mexican prison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd definitely learn consequences very, very quickly.
Oh, all right. So this is a story that's going to continue on for the next little while, because I think the media and the various blogs, Gawker and TMZ and all that, they're just having a field day with that. So we're going to hear a lot more about that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's move on to the next story here. We're going to go to something a little bit more local here, which is a sad story, actually. This is one of the stories that you probably don't want to hear if you're an emergency kind of frontline kind of worker, especially if you're called out to car accidents. But we had during Boxing Day, gentleman's pager went off to go at a car crash and discovers that his son is part of the accident scene here. So a little sad story here. It was all on the head-on collision on the old Guysville Road on Saturday afternoon. So that is something that you probably don't want to run into when you're a frontline worker like that.
Did the kid die, or...
No,
broken legs and maybe a cracked pelvis.
Yeah, it says he had a broken wrist, a leg broken in three places, and a shattered kneecap.
Oof. So he's gonna be crippled for the rest of his life.
Yeah, sounds like it.
I think that's father was in the scene about a half hour, 45 minutes before he started sort of looking at the wreckage and realizing it sort of could look like he saw his son's car. He was there quite a while, apparently.
That's horrifying.
He broke his wrist when his hand hit the car's gear shift, which was shoved forward when the engine was pushed into the driver's seat.
God. It was
pretty violent head-on collision here. So
that's terrible.
It's something that, and especially on Boxing Day, you know, it's definitely something you don't really want to hear about, right? So, but other than that, it was kind of...
Yeah, it's one of those sort of sad, ironic kind of stories in a way, you know, like just you never really hear or expect, oh, someone who's, you know, a firefighter or a police officer or a paramedic or something ends up discovering a loved one or whatever in one of those situations.
And when I first heard when I first saw the headline, I thought it was that passage there at Barney's River, the one.
Oh yeah, that bad one there.
You know, the bad section there where there's a lot of accidents. I thought that was there, and I thought, ew. But it's on the old Guysborough Road, which is a narrower, even more treacherous road, for sure. However, another car situation occurred. On Christmas Day, though, day before in Truro, if you were in Truro, you had a hard time getting around because About 100 cars were lined up on Main Street Trail to get to the Tim Hortons. And
okay, so that's ridiculous,
yes.
Right? Like, who can't manage one day, like, providing coffee in their home?
How many people do you think were just using this as an excuse to get away from their relatives on Christmas morning?
Okay, well, that's also a possibility, yeah. I suppose.
But it wasn't like it was a bad weather day. You know, at Christmas Day in Nova Scotia, it was like, what, plus 14? Like,
yeah, it was nice.
Sunny. It was like all my Facebook feed, it was all people outside in their sweaters. You know, it was fantastic, right? So 100 cars just bumper to bumper along Roby Street in Truro.
There is never a situation in Truro where you have traffic like that. Never.
Is the coffee that good you'd line up for?
Well, you know, the locals say they love their Tims, yeah.
But it was also probably the only thing in town that was open.
Yeah, convenience over quality every time.
Yeah, I came back to Halifax on Boxing Day, Boxing Day, to beat that storm, and when I got back, I realized I didn't have any, like chips or whatever. I just wanted some snacks. So the Shoppers Drug Mart by me was open, and that place was jam-packed. But it was also like one of the three things in the city open that day.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I get a kick of when I watch it on Twitter, people like, you know, people, the store was going to be closed. Why didn't you prepare to get your stuff? But, you know, You need to get out.
Gotta have your Tims.
Gotta have your Tims. Gotta have your double-double.
Oh, Truro. Truro, in 2016, Truro, I wish for better things for you. That you have that you have more to hope for than coffee at Tim Hortons.
If that's the worst headline of your town, city, whatever, that's not bad.
Yeah. Coffee line. But, you know, hats off to the poor suckers who had to work that shift that day. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Christmas Day. Geez, I wonder if they had like an 8 a.m. start or.
I bet they got some good tips that night, though.
Well, I hope so.
Apparently,
are they allowed to keep tips at Tim Hortons?
Apparently, they were asked if they wanted to work. They could, and some people wanted to. So it wasn't like we're opening and you have to work 8 to 4 or whatever. It was, if you want to work, we'll open, and they wanted to open.
Wow. And let me just screen share here the so that people can see actually the scene in Truro. It's from the Love Nova Scotia page.
Nuts.
Oh my God. that's ridiculous.
They do realize you could buy that like in a store, right? You could buy this in a package and take it home into like a brewer.
That requires work though.
That requires staying at home, not being in your car. And I'm sure people were behind one of their buddies, so as they were waiting, they got out of their car or their truck, walked over to the next car or two cars over, chatting with their buddy and holding up the line, and
and then plus no one
could nobody carpool. I'm sure it's not that big.
And no one wants to stand inside of Tim Hortons in the lineup in there either, because it's always like some idiot trying to order one of their breakfast sandwiches, and they want everything done just the way they want it done, and they hold up the line for 15 minutes, so the one person working the counter has to make their damn sandwich and hold everyone else up.
Yeah.
Well, Lee brings up the good point. What about that poor sap that parked before the lineup started? He can't get out.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to back out. Ever try to get out of a Tim Hortons when the drive-thru is, like, lined up?
Yeah. I never go to Tim Hortons. So.
You are going nowhere.
you've entered the realm of Mad Max at that point. Just anarchy.
Yeah. Might as well take out your telescopic pole vaulting post and put it on top of your car and start swinging out. And
you got the flames and the guy on the guitar swinging around.
Yeah, they're not fighting for guzzoline, they're fighting for Timbits at that point.
That's right.
Quick, somebody get a couple Dutchy Timbits to throw at the masses. Hey, on Twitter, Farlson John, says here he was just commenting on the affluenza story there. So he was commenting that his mom had to pay for a stripper. Laughing at that. Sounds like you deserve a Mexican prison stay. And I think I just saw...
That sounds like a euphemism for something.
And he also says that McDonald's coffee is way better than Tim Hortons.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Actually, I would agree. I would agree that too. I don't drink it a lot, but I've had it. And it's like, it's very fine.
If you get it fresh.
For chain store coffee, it's fun.
Yeah, if you get a fresh pot there, it's pretty good.
Well, they got into business knowing they were directly competing against Tim Hortons. So if they knew if they weren't going to bring something good, they weren't going to sell it.
Yeah, so, the thing is, like, Tim Hortons doesn't sell good coffee, so I don't know.
But there's an acceptable level, though, of awfulness and convenience ratio there.
When they introduced the dark roast, it was a lot better than the regular stuff.
They're watered down espresso, so-called espresso, essentially.
Yeah. But McDonald's, they're going to, I don't know if you guys caught the news there, but they're going to set up a couple standalone coffee McCafes in Toronto and another spot there. So
it works in other countries. Like, I remember quite a few years back when I was in Brazil, they actually had a separate coffee, like a McCafe there, and they had a barista or whatever the Portuguese version of barista is, but and it was fantastic. It was really good.
I know in the United States they have like naked baristas or near naked baristas.
Wasn't that in Maine?
Would that be a brewery?
In Maine? Oh my God!
A couple of years ago,
laugh at that.
It didn't. Obviously, the people of Maine didn't quite like that, so it never really.
Well, first of all, Maine is cold as hell. Like, that's a terrible place to do that.
Yeah, but inside is nice and warm. Probably got a nice log cabin motif and.
Oh, like cabin coffee on.
But being in Maine, they probably have a moose on the wall or something. Moose head on the wall and.
Oh, that's stereotyping, Jim. You're a racist.
Yeah. Would the place be called The Grinder?
All right. So, folks, you're watching the Friday Night Hangout. We're back. Back in black. You are watching live. You're enjoying this live. You can also listen on podcasts. You can go on your favorite podcast listening apparatus and search for Avoiding Chores or Friday Night Hangout. Should be able to find that. And we will upload the unedited version of this. Used to do the best of, but found out that people kind of preferred listening to the long form stuff. So
you realized it was all the best of. That's the problem.
Yeah, it was hard to cut it out. Anyway, let's move on to the next story. Actually, before we get to the next story, let's do another round of what we're drinking tonight so that everybody who are new can know what we're drinking, because it is a part of drinking liquids. I'll start. I am drinking the Propeller Revolution Imperial Stout 8%. Nice, nice, nice. As you can see, it's slow going tonight, but kind of like Krista. You know, it's a rough night last night. Krista, speaking of Krista, what are you drinking tonight, Krista?
Oh, nothing. I'm not drinking anything.
And so where did you enjoy last night again?
I went to the Stubborn Goat for their New Year's Eve party. They do a Great Gatsby-themed party, and they had a dance floor, and so we did some... Little bit of dancing, but a lot of very good eating and drinking, but I'm really paying for it today.
excellent. Mike, what are you drinking?
I finished my red ale, and I'm just going to drop downstairs to the kegerator and pick up a pale ale. Another homebrew.
Excellent, excellent.
I'll do that now while you're doing your round.
All right, perfect. And we got Lee. What are you drinking, Lee?
I have switched to Boxing Rock Temptation Red.
Oh,
right. Excellent. And Dan, what are you drinking tonight?
I am still working on the Edition Speciale 2015, the Grand Cuvée Porter Baltique.
That's right.
Very nice.
Baltic Porter from the Trois Mousquetaires, one of my favorite beers. And this is their special. Bring it closer, Dan, to the white.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This is a special one, the white label. Bring it down a little bit here. Ooh. Yes, aged in a bourbon and brandy barrels.
Where do you find that? A Rockhead?
No, Bishop's Cellar.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It is...
Not the Depenur?
No. Well, actually, you know what? When I was... I went to Montreal in November, and I did have it at the Depenur, and it was $12 for that bottle, but the import cost to Nova Scotia is... not quite $12, so you better enjoy that damn beer.
I will. Considering where I came from, having any alcohol is fantastic.
All right, excellent. All right, so let's move on to the next story here, and it is alcohol-related here. This I love this one here. A woman beats her DWI with a rare defense. She has a rare condition that her body, her gut, can ferment food and produces alcohol.
My body, you know, brews shit, and I detect bullshit on this one.
I guess it's a thing. It's a thing. It is called, there's a big name here. This happened in Buffalo. It's called, it's known as gut fermentation syndrome. First documented in the 70s in Japan. And both medical and legal experts in the U.S. says it's being raised more frequently in drunken driving cases as it becomes more known.
So she didn't know something was up before she was pulled over for TWI?
Well, what happened was, and I believe, let me read the story again here, but she wasn't drinking that night. And she got pulled over, and when she did the breathalyzer, it contained high levels.
It's not that. It's the fact that if you know that something's up and you seem to be feeling inebriated and you're not drinking, that maybe you should get that checked out or something.
Well, yeah. Is that the case? Is that the case with this? That like
do you feel drunk when you do this?
So what happens? Her intestines ferment the high carb foods into alcohol or the yeast that's found in that.
Well, if she's blowing over through a breathalyzer, it's entered into her system at that point, so she should be feeling the effects of the brewing of the alcohol.
Well, she was saying here that...
So they did a day of testing with her, and at the end of the day, she had a blood alcohol content of 0.36 without drinking any alcohol. 0.36 is insane.
Yeah. So, unless she's like, this is the very first time this ever happened to her, and I highly doubt it, still something's up with this.
Well, it's kind of, well, she's a 35-year-old school teacher, so it's not like she's...
Yeah, I mean, with this condition, how did she not, like, have one really bad Halloween where she basically got alcohol poisoning and died?
Exactly. Because
the amount of sugar you'd put in there and get fermented, like, that'd be crazy.
Now, they noted that when you use this defense, you really have to prove that you weren't aware that you have it. So now that it's been out there, you can't really use it as a get-out-of-jail card.
How can you not be aware that something's up?
Yeah. Now, Chris was saying here that when she wasn't drinking, she had a blood alcohol level of 0.38.
Yeah.
The New York blood alcohol limit is 0.08.
Yeah, that's like Nova Scotia too.
Yeah.
Like how do you go by your day-to-day life at that normal level of 0.3 whatever without drinking? Like how does that happen? Like she must have been diagnosed previously. She must know she has this condition. There must be something she can take to keep, like whether it's just her diet or something else has to be to treat that. So.
Yeah, there's nothing in here about how you manage this condition. But, like, I am really curious, like, do you feel like you're drunk all the time? Like, I guess you wouldn't, because you would have, like, a... Built like, your body would be, like, a tolerance to it.
Yeah.
But... Oh, yeah, so it says here, like, she didn't know she had the condition, never felt tipsy, nothing.
Mm. So everyone basically just thought she had MS all her entire life or something. Like, come on. Like, fuck.
It's a strange story.
It sounds like there's a good chance, Dan's right here, that there's some really smelly bullshit going on here somewhere.
Yeah. Well, it's like one of those drunk driving defense attorneys that advertise all over the internet.
I'm not saying that the condition doesn't exist. I'm sure the condition does exist. I'm just saying that she, at some point before she reached the age of 35, must have realized something's wrong. And maybe I should have this checked out.
Well, like Lee pointed out, like it's amazing that she didn't die of alcohol poisoning before this.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That is crazy.
Well, hopefully we'll hear a little bit more about it soon. So
if you're like, you know, one of those people that, you know, just randomly falls asleep, does that mean you can be charged? If you fall asleep at the wheel?
If you're not, what do you mean? If you're like narcoleptic?
Yeah, narcoleptic, yeah.
Well, it says here she's a 35-year-old school teacher, so people must have noticed something.
Yeah, like...
You know, Miss whatever her name is, she's drunk all day at school. You think that would... Didn't notice.
But it doesn't sound like you appear drunk when you have this situation. There's a Wikipedia entry for it. I'm on it.
All right.
Okay.
All right. As you quickly skim that, we'll do a quick round of Twitter comments here. And Lee, correct. YouTube comments are not working at all. I checked a few things here and nothing. So we're going to Twitter. John also mentions that he does think that Donald's coffee is a bit better in his opinion as compared to Tim Horton's coffee. And he is drinking at home the Just Us Colombian whole bean that he makes in his French press. So I have also switched over to French press. I am drinking the Laughing Whale. I forget which one there. With my French press. I use my Keurig now to quickly heat up water. That's what I use my Keurig for. I don't buy the cups anymore.
Actually, I'm going to throw something out. I have... three systems, actually. So I have a Tassimo, which I use for just regular stuff. I've got an espresso, which is really awesome. But I picked up for when I was gone for a while an AeroPress.
Oh, yeah.
Is it the bicycle pump thing?
Well, no. It's actually uno momento portable.
Yeah,
everyone I know that has an AeroPress loves it. They go bananas for it. It's like a cult of AeroPress. Okay, well, while Dan's doing that... it's a very short Wikipedia entry, but apparently you can take an antifungal drug, and that's an effective treatment because it kills this yeast that causes you to be...
Wait, this isn't a penis pump like from the Austin Power movies, by the way. so you have a little filter there. You put it on top of your cup. You put the mixture of the grounds and the water there.
Yes.
And then you just force it through, and it drips down there. So it takes about a minute.
That's is that from GSI or something like that?
No, there's a product all into its own.
Okay.
But it's great for just making coffee anywhere, basically, as long as you can boil water. I'm sorry?
I said it's really easy to clean. My son has one he got last Christmas.
Yeah.
He loves it.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to mention... reason why I was asking about the brand name because I do notice at Mountain Equipment Co-op they seem to have similar products here with the including the mug,
kind
of all-in commuter thing. But the thing that I wanted to get again when I went to Montreal, I had some espresso, and I said, "Hey, I kind of like this espresso thing." But you know, I don't feel like spending a lot of money on a quality machine. So I was trying to find some stuff, but there is a hand presso, which I'll bring it up here on the screen share.
A hand presso.
Yeah, hand presso, big in Europe. And it looks like a bicycle pump. It's made out of metal.
This sounds like something that Ron Papil would do.
This looks like it should be in an Italian porno of some sort.
Actually, no. I've seen that. Yeah.
Seen that?
Yeah.
So basically, you put the there's a little pump there, and
with a fire too. Ooh.
So you pump the tube to 15 psi. You lock it in. You take the pod. You take your coffee. You tip
it. Guys, look how wasteful that is. What the hell is that guy doing? Look at all those grounds just spewing everywhere.
You just put in the pod. You put the water in. Afterwards,
he's filthy. Look at him, filthy. Pump that hand presso.
Wow. You lock it in, and then you just release it.
Is this the one they advertise you can make in your car while driving?
There is one that you plug into the cigarette lighter.
Yeah, you should definitely not do that.
It looks like a big thermos, and when you plug it into a cigarette lighter, it sounds like. One of those tire pump machines that you for your car for emergency purposes. As it builds up the pressure, and then it kind of, and then you kind of flip it upside down to shoot it out.
That's the time you should line up for a Tim Hortons coffee rather than make coffee when you're driving.
Yeah, but can you imagine you're in Truro and you just standing out of your truck and you just getting your espresso ready. You just drink some espresso and it's like 100 cal lineup.
Why not? So what level would you have to be, like a hipster from Portlandia? Is that the level of hipster you need to be doing that? Anyone watch Portlandia?
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, Jim, you should throw that into your Netflix queue. Portlandia.
I've watched a few episodes, but I don't have full control of the Netflix.
Well, okay, you got to slide it in.
You can set up different profiles.
But you I know. It's just right now it's dominated by Paw Patrol.
I know what that is.
And goddamn Friday Night Lights that we just finally finished yesterday. So, yeah. But I did watch two episodes of Portlandia before I got diverted.
And we just got Netflix Christmas time. Finally.
Welcome aboard.
Hey, actually, you know what? This was a topic here that I put into the hangout there. I forgot to put it in the show notes here. But let's quickly talk about, because it was the holidays, let's quickly talk about binge watching. Because as we're home not doing, for those who are not waiting in traffic for coffee at Truro, you probably were watching some Netflix or DVDs or whatever. So I finished up Jessica Jones, Making a Murderer. On Netflix was pretty much my main viewing.
I can't binge watch that though, because it's like, oh my god, it's so heavy. No, I haven't watched Jessica Jones yet. I've been watching Making a Murderer, but I'm only watching it like an episode at a time because it's
Jessica heavy. Jones is so good. I was 3:30 in the morning is like one more. So yeah, it's a fantastic series. If you enjoyed the Daredevil, the Marvel Universe, it continues upon that sort of real-world, gritty, character-driven storytelling, and it's fantastic.
Cool. It's better than Daredevil.
And if you're a big fan of David Tennant from the Doctor Who series, it's amazing to see him as a complete asshole.
Yeah.
Not just an asshole, a rapist, essentially.
Yeah. I got Show Me, so I've been burning my way through that.
Is that worthwhile to get?
Well, they have a 2-month free trial on right now, so so a lot of the things that you can't get on Canadian Netflix but are on American Netflix are on Show Me. Yeah. So I've been just kind of working my way through that. But it has some shows on it that I love that I haven't watched in a really long time, like Party Down. And I rewatched all of Party Down the other day from beginning to end. It was just hysterically funny.
Or to all you people out there who have Canadian Netflix and you want to get U.S. Netflix, just get this little program called Hola that latches right onto your Google Chrome, and it gets you U.S. Netflix right away. Just a nice little VPN.
Yeah, I have a VPN subscription otherwise. Yeah. So that's good for U.S. Netflix. It's terrible for Hulu, but
Hulu.
Well, I'm going to I retweaked my VPN, my router, well, my Apple TV to hook up to the VPN so I can get to make the Apple TV the American box, and then we're going to use our Chromecast to be the Canadian version. But I wanted to I've been contacting some of my family members who live down in the States. I want to try an experiment where I want to unlock some of the channels. For example, on Apple TV, you got like Disney or A&E, whatever. And you have to put in a verification code when you try to unlock a channel.
Right. Does A&E still exist?
Sort of.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. But, that was just an example. But it was more to unlock the Disney channels for the kids, for the child. But I want to try getting some of my family members to I'll text them the code, and they can do it from their location in the States, legit location in the States, and see if that works. I don't know. Give that a try.
This is a very convoluted scam.
It is a scam.
At least when you go to jail, you'll know somebody.
I have no idea if that's going to work or not. It's kind of interesting. But, the one thing with the cord cutting, And we found this out yesterday at New Year's Eve, trying to find a stream of a local stream of the countdown. We could not find nothing.
Okay, yeah. Let's put the little caveat. It's not the fact that we couldn't find a local stream of a New Year's celebration. It's for one for the Atlantic Canada time zone.
Yeah.
Which was the problem. So if you are part of like CTV and you are a Bell cable subscriber, you can get around it. Other than that, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah, and this is the one more of my pet peeves. So they have this live video stream on CTV Atlantic. Hey, New Year's Eve live stream. Click here. You click here and say, oh, enter your Bell fiber op login or your Shaw cable or Rogers. It's like, no.
So
have to. Why would I live stream something on the internet if I have cable television?
Exactly.
Well, it's just a business protection model for them, but
it's only honestly, a matter of time.
Yeah, matter of time.
Yeah, I have been off television for Jesus, I don't know, like 8 months now, and I don't miss it, not even a little.
Do you know what's sad? That how we had to ring in the new year? We had to watch a Frankie McDonald thanking all the different states for having a Happy New Year for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Thank you to Kansas and Missouri and Florida and Toronto and Halifax and Shea Harbor. He's listening like location after location for 5 minutes. God bless you, Frankie.
Yeah. No, it's good. And Frankie's doing good. He got contracted by Nova Scotia Power to appear in a series of preparedness videos, I guess.
They were kind of congratulating themselves pretty thoroughly for that, but they didn't actually pay him, like, a lot.
Really?
No,
it's not good.
Thousands
of
bucks.
So they just exploited him like they exploit all the people who are relying on their power.
Mm. Exactly.
Was it $1,000 for the whole thing?
He did it. He made a very kind gesture of donating, I think, like half of it to, oh, God, I can't remember. Autism Society?
Nova Scotia, yeah, Autism Society. Yeah.
But like when I heard the amount, I was like, well, that's a bit cheap for NS Power. They've got more money than they'll ever know what to do with. Mm. And they're doing it capitalizing on this guy's fame, for which, you know, he probably makes like a little bit of money off his YouTube channel, but...
Yeah. So, that's why he does these things where he donates the funds to these societies or the charities and stuff. So, makes them look a little bad. But yeah, if you have a chance, go look for it. Nova Scotia Power, Frankie McDonald. Didn't have it here bookmarked here, but I did watch a little bit. He's only at the beginning for like 15 or 20 seconds on top of that, too.
I tell you to get Chinese food. Get Chinese food. I love that.
John on Twitter was mentioning here that he also binged on Making a Murderer, so he agreed with the outcome. And he said that Dan had a nice hat. Nice little orphan hat.
Oh, yes, that was handmade for me. For those who are Firefly fans or Serenity, that would be the Jane toque.
The what?
Jane, the character in Firefly?
Yeah.
I didn't watch Firefly.
That's your next series you can binge on.
Yes. You only have to watch 12 episodes.
Oh, okay.
12 episodes and you are done.
That's the one Nathan Fillion, right?
That should be. That should have been already been viewed multiple times.
Farscape's better. Farscape's way better. I've been watching.
Farscape went on a little too long.
I love Farscape. Yeah, it was only four seasons.
Four seasons too long.
You're hell with you.
No, actually,
there's a reason Firefly didn't last long.
Okay, well, fine then. If we're going to go on that road, you should have watched Babylon 5.
I did watch Babylon 5. It's also awesome.
Also five seasons too long.
No, it was one season too long. It was originally supposed to be only a four-season arc, and then they stapled on the fifth season.
I was not expecting a full-fledged nerd war to break out tonight, but here we are.
Actually correct, Deep Space Nine...
Hey, well, let's close out this geek out session here. Who went to see Star Wars?
I did.
Me too.
I saw it on illegal VOD. I'm not paying for that crap in the theaters, thanks.
And Kristen?
I went to see Sisters that weekend.
All right, so
any other movies coming out that you wanted to see, you could go to the theater and see them without any problem because everyone was going to fucking see Star Wars. So.
So what'd you get? So other than Chris, guys, what do you think about the latest Star Wars?
It felt like a Star Wars movie, I'll give it that. But other than that, I couldn't give a damn.
I was entertained. I can understand why George is a little bit bitter. He's seen all these dollars just leaving. He only sold for $4 billion, and it's like,
yeah, all that money he's losing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
No, you know why he's bitter? It's because he's actually kind of a talentless hack who had a lot of more talented people surrounding him when he made the first three movies. And that's very, very evident when he made the next three movies and he didn't have those people around him anymore.
Yeah, it was all his control there. And that's true. I watched this great video on YouTube where they kind of compared the different editions, the original trilogy editions, and they really pointed out how all the enhancements for most of them, of the first three, they look really dated. The Han Solo stepping on Jabba the Hutt's tail.
They ruined them.
Oh, you mean the CGI for the original?
Yeah, all the CGI that they inserted in, and it looks.
You know, you can't substitute for practical effects. Even when they're cheap practical effects, they're actually there. You're actually seeing them. Big difference.
Yeah. Except Ed Wood, but that's a different story.
But the latest edition felt a lot more like the original three.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, it did, yes.
My favorite comment is that George Lucas is complaining that he tackles new worlds when he does his stories. Oh. And how many times did he go back to Tatooine?
Hmm. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that was a comment he was making. He's complaining about this version, the fact that it's rehashing old locations.
Well, you know, I watched the prequels for reasons I still do not completely understand, and I was just like, oh my God. Like, I don't have a lot of interest, I guess, in that storytelling genre. I don't know if I will ever see the new Star Wars.
Well, it's funny because the new Star Wars is really the first one, the 77 movie with a little bit of Empire Strikes Back in there. And I didn't mind it at all. I liked all the characters. I liked the big reveal at the end with the female character. I love the whole ending with Luke Skywalker and all that stuff. So that was...
Do we want to talk about Raygate as well?
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah.
What about it?
Well, it's a huge thing or storm that's going on internet right now in regards to the fact that if you go to your local toy store to pick up your Star Wars action figures, there's a surprising lack of selection when it comes to Rey, the female character.
That. Yeah. Doesn't it feel like the hero of the movie?
Exactly. Yeah. So... According to Disney, Disney's come up with an official statement saying the reason that they haven't done that is because they want to introduce toys that could be considered spoilerish in what she would be coming with as her accessories. So, but that still doesn't negate the fact that they could still do that without having those extra accoutrements, or singular, we all know which one we're talking about here. And still, you know, flood the market with lots of Rey action figures. So what the hell is going on?
That's a bullshit excuse. They're just trying to capitalize on previous, Han Solo and Luke Skywalker, they're popular. We'll make toys of them.
Well, but exactly. Rey, so, like, for example, if you look at the action figure sets, you'll have one with, like, Finn and then Han Solo and then two Stormtroopers, but they're missing her. Or they'll have a Monopoly board set, or not Monopoly, well, some sort of game board set, where you can get, like, Finn and, I think, Han Solo, and then, like, two bad guys, but you don't have her. So there's lots of examples where there's really not a lot of Rey, yet she is actually the hero of the story.
Yeah, she is. Character.
I bet that will change. I bet by the second, before the second movie, I'm sure that will change a lot because.
I hope so.
She's one of the standout things in the movie. I mean, like I said, I don't really care about the movie that much. It was fine. I enjoyed watching it, but she was definitely one of the standouts. And I mean, she essentially the movie. Semi spoilers. It's essentially kind of a rehash of the first Star Wars. Essentially, it hits all the same major plot points in a lot of ways. And she's essentially the Luke Skywalker of this movie. And she's a way better actress than Luke or Mark Hamill was back in the day. So,
but she never really wanted to go to Tosche Station to get some power converters.
No, she just wanted to stay home, actually.
All right, so let's move on to the next topic here because, you know, Krista didn't see the movie, so, you know, we couldn't continue on. So.
That's all right. I'm checking my Instagram.
All right. Let's do the next one here, which is one of Dan's stories here. A man in B.C. uses a kayak as a getaway vehicle after allegedly ramming a police cruiser.
With the kayak?
No, I wish.
I had the same question because I was like, because the on the National Post story, you see there's a picture of the cruiser, and it's a pretty impressive amount of damage, so my first thought was there was no way they did that with a kayak.
Yeah, I was going to say, is the police cruiser a catamaran? What kind of town are they running here?
He could have hulked it with the kayak, though, you know, bam, bam, and then...
Yeah. You would have had to pick up the kayak and beat the SUV with it.
Oh, hey, he could have been like from the Frantics back in the day, Mr. Canoehead.
No, he actually crashed it with his truck, and then I think perhaps his truck had the kayak on it, so then he took the kayak off and then tried to escape on a kayak.
And he put it on his little dolly, you know, that you put kayaks on, and he just wheeled it to the water.
They stole it after they ran from the vehicle.
Well, the charges that the guy was, like, I guess one of them was, like, stealing or, possession of breaking tools, break and enter, theft under 5,000. So the guy was up to a whole bunch of no good.
Driving while prohibited.
Yeah.
19 counts of theft of mail.
But, I mean, to think escape by kayak, that's gotta be like a first.
Well, no, didn't we have a story here in Halifax a few months ago? But he did a getaway in a canoe.
That didn't end well for that guy, though.
Oh. Yeah, so that's 0-for-2 for kayak escape. So,
yeah.
Kids, if you're going to be doing any sort of illegal stuff, stay away from kayaks.
True. But then again, you probably are a petty thief, so you're probably not all that fucking bright to start with. So
kayaks aren't that cheap, though. I mean, really, you should find a better way to do that.
Yeah, kayak away, kids. Kayak away.
Hoverboard. Get those hoverboards. You know the one.
Yeah, get the hoverboard.
Yeah, get the hoverboard.
Oh my god! I tell you, I was at Best Buy right before Christmas. And I had one of the staff just brush my shoulder, and he was on one of these stupid things, hoverboards.
Oh, you should have cold cocked him.
I wanted to really test out the some of the sensors on there to keep them upright. But these things are, and I've seen like 4 or 5 of them over the last couple months. The worst one was, and I think I tweeted a picture a few months ago. It was a guy, and he had his child kind of standing in front of him they're leaning with like no helmet or nothing. I'm thinking going down Shabukto Road, I said, these crappy Halifax, Halifax sidewalks, that they're going to do a face plant and that's going to be some dental surgery coming soon. And it was the most ridiculous thing.
So are they cheap? Like
relatively cheap.
What, $400 or $500 or
something like that.
It's cheaper than a Segway, then.
Have you seen that minister that was doing his sermon on hoverboard?
I actually thought that was really funny. I feel
that is great.
Yeah. Well, it would definitely enhance the effect with the robe and everything. He's just gliding, right?
And if they want to reenact Jesus walking on water, they could have probably pulled that off of that thing.
I like that. Okay, next story here. This is a story from Newfoundland that Mike posted here. So this was actually, I did see this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, this happened about a month ago now.
Yeah, about a month ago here. So in Torbay, it looks like high school. My worst nightmare here once my little one gets of age there. So I guess there was a poll here to rate the ugliest girls
in grade 12.
In grade 12.
Oh, God.
And anyway, this girl here was one of the top votes there, whatever. So she did a social media post there to fight back there, and that got a lot of positive stuff there. And I've seen the pictures there, and you know, I think the story that the follow up story here was the you know, the Mean Girls post. I think that was, you know, that you can pretty much put that under that category as Mean Girls, but. You know, it's something, especially now with the social media tools and all that stuff, or the sites where these surveys are all over the place. You know, it's hard. How, as a parent, how can you keep track of all that stuff now? Eh? Like, that's why I'm like, yeah, sure, I'm tech savvy, but geez, you know, when my little one gets to be high school age, I don't know.
That's why you got to DDoS the school. At all times, constantly DDoS it.
I'm building up my supply of heavy magnets and you know, wireless interrupter devices.
Are you getting the impression that we're reaching peak awfulness on the internet?
I'm sure there's a lot more awfulness we can reach,
but a lot of it is surfacing up a lot quicker.
Yeah,
like, it's making the news, and it's really like. You know, like, especially with the bullying, the school bullying, it seems like we're not hearing as much. I'm sure it still goes on.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
I'm sure, but it just doesn't seem to, you know, it's maybe there's a little bit more control or a little bit more awareness here for sure, but...
Like, years ago, if it was in your school, like, with one person, like, the dozen people around knew about it. Now with the internet, the whole world knows, right?
Well, remember in high school, I don't know if you guys had that. In my high school, used to be a thing around Valentine's Day where you had to put, you know, you could do like a little survey and you get like a computer printout with your matches.
Yeah. You know, I thought you were going to talk about back when elementary school where, you know, you give out the Valentine's Day card and then you open your shoebox and you find that there's only like two cards in it.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
Now, this one in high school, right, where... that was a scam too, but it's just a different form nowadays. Eh?
Yeah.
But what this girl did that made the story big was, rather than just suffer in silence or, you know, let it ruin her life, she posted back basically telling the people like, you know, I'm not the prettiest, sure. I'm not what everybody would consider beautiful, but. You don't know me, and stuff like this, and like, no, she's funny, kind, down to earth, she's not judgmental, accepting, but just because we don't look perfect on the outside doesn't mean we're ugly. If that's your idea of ugly, then I feel sorry for you. Seriously, get a life. And just put it back to them, like, how small are they to do this, right?
And those people that did that, I mean, they're going to peak in high school, right? Like, their lives are...
Yeah, they're pretty ugly as it is inside, at least.
They're going to be selling vacuums.
Yeah, and I mean, she didn't back down, and she's obviously got a lot more maturity and intelligence than the people behind that garbage, because she just stood up for herself, so good for her.
Yeah, and there's an organization in Ontario somewhere that does this, like, mentoring for kids and helping them through stuff, and he got in contact with her a couple of days after and wants her to be a guest speaker at a seminar he's doing now sometime this spring.
Fantastic.
She took something so negative and turned it around. Like,
yeah, good for her.
Yeah.
And the rest of those people can just eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there she is right there doing her spot there. All good. All good. Good for her.
That's how you deal with bullies. You stand up to them.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. I got one last topic here, and I don't know if I put it here definitely put it in the show notes. So I did put it here in the chat for you guys here. But Dan suggested this at the last minute, or during this afternoon, or maybe during my nap. I can't remember. the dress. Remember the dress?
Yes, that was one of the top memes of 2015.
Yeah. Was it blue? Was it white?
Oh gold? My God! Remember? Do you remember the night that we talked about that? It was.
It was. Yeah, so remember that? Well, I guess they can't show the dress anymore because of some legal stuff. But anyway, this is something like this. So it's a trick, right? It's a visual trick, right? Depending on how your eyes process the information.
What your monitor is calibrated to do. A whole bunch of things.
Yeah, a whole bunch of things. So, Dan, why is this in the news today?
Because the people that originally took the picture are crying that nobody's paying attention to us anymore. We did all the hard work of taking this picture, and now everyone else is getting the credit.
What?
Yes.
I'm reading that story now, and who cares?
Yeah. It's kind of like that guy, Krista, you tweeted about this a couple weeks ago, the guy who took Elizabeth around that around the world trip last year.
Ugh, that guy.
He was like, why is nobody paying attention to me anymore? And he had to do another spot piece. Why? Ugh. The downside of being internet famous? Or
that guy's the worst.
I had no idea he was internet famous, but...
So yeah, so that's what this article is about. It's just basically talking about how they feel that they weren't properly compensated for how the image took off on the internet. And
they're obviously the real victims here.
Yeah.
All right, quick. Is that what is that? A bunny or a duck?
Both.
It's a duck rabbit. It's
both.
there is a beer brand with that label. It's called like Duck Rabbit.
It's a lightsaber. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I just finished reading that story. Those people are terrible.
Exactly. Oh my god. Are they expecting a handout and $1 million for a picture of a freaking dress? What's their expectations? What's their end state of this?
Talk about fucking affluenza. Jeez.
It's a picture taken in bad lighting if you can't tell what color it is.
Yeah.
Well, the worst part, this is just a composite, just a composite here. But you know what we're talking about is this picture, right? Well, actually, it's more. What was it? Was it this one? That one? We're talking about that picture right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They want to get paid for that picture.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, both them and Wikipedia want to get paid.
Mm. So, you know, we can't, you know, send rocket ships to, like, Mars, and we can't feed the poor, but goddammit, we can make sure that those two people get compensated for a picture of a goddamn dress.
We'll send them to Mars so we don't have to hear from them anymore.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that'd be all right.
Now, actually, there is something I wanted to bring up, because it's something that was really big for us in 2015, and we haven't talked about it, and since it's been a while. Krista. So, Serial Season 2's out.
Yes.
Do you have any insight on that?
I'm waiting for it to... You know what? I don't think it's necessarily bad. I mean, honestly, like, it's a story I don't particularly care about. Mm. So, but it is interesting how they're going about telling it. And I'm kind of... I have some faith in the Serial team that, because one of the ways it was described is when they start, you know, when you heard about the story that you heard like this, it was this one thing, and the more that you look at it and the more you pull back and look at all these other things, it then becomes all these other stories, and I think that is actually kind of bearing out. Like, it's interesting to hear about how, like, the Taliban spends their day, and, like, you know, just, and things like that. Like, when she, like, the, you know, in... was it last week's episode, the episode before last, where she like called this like Taliban guy on the telephone and had a talk with him about like
how do you find Taliban. That on anyway? It's like 1-800-TALIBAN.
Yeah, exactly. So I find it, I do find it interesting, but I don't find it. I mean, I think it's, we have such an embarrassment of riches with good storytelling and podcasting now, and it's basically happened in a year since Serial came around that there is so much more out there now. But, you know, I'm sticking with it. I find it interesting.
I do, too. I've been listening to a couple episodes twice. I think the third one, the last one there, I think we're on episode 3. You know, definitely good, but it's these little things about the Taliban. It's the just the inner workings, how it's just a world away from us.
Yeah.
And it just showed, you know, like during that whole conflict, I had no idea. You
know, and what, I mean, what's but like, I, there and, like listening to Bo Bergdahl talk in his own voice, you have to wonder like what the barrier to entry is for the American military, because like this guy like seems like not entirely mentally sound.
I'm gonna throw one thing out there. There's a lot of Marines that are really hoping that Donald Trump wins because he's got some good ideas. That's all I'm gonna say.
I don't know what that means.
I wish I could make it comical. I wish I can laugh it up. But the number that I saw was, yeah, it was disheartening.
I done graduated at the top of my class.
Yeah. Sign me up for another 5 years. If Donald Trump wins, I got his back. I got his six.
Six. Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Speaking of podcasts, what were some of your favorites lately or you know, podcasts you keep going to, or you guys got anything?
Well, for me, in 2015, one of the ones that I kind of happened upon by accident and really ended up loving was Reply All, about just these
yes
weird little stories of things that happen on the internet, and then they kind of they just go in and investigate it, and they did this really fun episode where they went and just spent the day exploring New York and just recording what they did along the way. Yep. And it was a lot of fun. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, I listened to that too. I thought that was a really good one. There was a couple new ones I picked up lately, and one of them is called it's a sci-fi related one, so maybe that doesn't more interest Krista. but it's called, and I mentioned it to Dan last night. What the hell is it here? It's called Imaginary Worlds.
Imaginary Worlds.
And it's actually not bad. They did a pretty good episode on the slave Leia phenomenon.
Also known as Slaya.
So that's where Princess Leia and Return of the Jedi, I'll just mention those two things, what you think of, the bikini and all that stuff. So it was a really good episode on that. Another one that I like that I just discovered, and I only listened to one episode, is How Did This Get Made? Mm. And,
I used to listen to that one quite a bit, but the episodes are so long.
Yeah, so I'm just started that, so I don't know if I'm going to hang on to it. Criminal is one of my favorites. And
I have heard good things about that one.
Yeah.
And The Leap is my latest favorite.
What's that?
That is a storytelling podcast that starts off slow, but then there's a leap, something you don't expect. So I'll give you the example, the one that hooked me. So about 5, 7, 8 years ago, there's this joke product that was made that was called Liquid Ass.
Yeah.
Right, so it's in a little bottle, a little drop. You put a drop on it, and it smells like ass. And very popular with the kids, with the teenage boys and college frats and stuff. So you're thinking, oh, why am I listening to something about liquid ass? Well, flash forward to a couple of years later to the guy who ran the production company that did a couple of shows for was it Silk Stockings and some of the other shows on the USA Network, whatever. Anyway, once the shows went belly up, he had all these sets, and he started getting into training law enforcement for scenarios, military, police, you know, hostage situations and all that. And as part of the training, you had medical staff, and I guess there is a medical situation that when you're dealing with somebody in the field, and if you hit a certain smell, that means that their intestines ruptured, and that is something really, 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 really bad. So to enhance that training, to make it as real as possible, the worst smell you can get was liquid ass. And they are using that for real military, law enforcement, medical training for real life situations and stuff. So that's kind of... That was the episode that...
I see that they've only had a few, like a half dozen episodes.
Yeah, they just started The Leap, and I think the one of them was the guy that was doing maintenance in a water. He went underwater. He got sucked into a water drain and ended up somewhere else, and he's running out of oxygen. Oh, that was really good too. Lee, any podcasts for you, other than your own, you want to plug?
well, actually, if you do go to my podcast website, tmbdos.podbean.com, you'll find my excellent, awesome podcast, but you'll also find all kinds of very interesting podcasts down in the right-hand side of the page under Travel Destinations. So I'd suggest to start there and find some stuff you like. If you like basically movie review podcasts and a couple other odd things.
What was the name of that Chow Brothers movie on Netflix that you you went on about a couple weeks ago, and I commented that I watched it, and I still don't remember the name of it.
Heroes of the East.
Heroes of the East on Netflix. Go watch that if you're a martial arts kind of fan. Kind of 70s, was that made in the 70s, 80s?
Yeah, it was 70s. Pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah, so that era, if you like that. Actually, it was really good. I watched it. It was a really good movie.
It was one of the martial arts films from the back in the day from China or Korea that wasn't racist against the Japanese.
Dan, any podcasts for you you want to plug?
Well, I listen to, I have a pretty long playlist of the ones that I kind of go through on a regular basis. But if I had to actually pick out a couple ones that I would highly suggest, 99% Invisible would be one.
I would recommend that too, but I'm finding that half of the episodes are ads.
The later half of it, you can pretty much finish an episode 5 minutes early, because the last 5 minutes are ads. But
my other complaint is that they're editing shorter versions of other podcasts.
Yeah.
And that's kind of starting to wear me down a little bit. So anyway, sorry.
Other ones I would suggest is My Brother and Me. Fantastically funny. They just basically answer questions that they find on Yahoo Answers. It's fantastic for that. Another one would be The Cracked Podcast. So if you remember Cracked Magazine, they actually have a podcast, and it's really, really insightful. It's definitely worth listening to that. The Flop House, which is the three guys watch a terrible, terrible, terrible diarrhea of a movie, and then they kind of give their take on that as well. And lastly, a new one that I picked up, it's a serial drama that's come out, and it's called Limetown.
Oh, yeah. I listened to one of those. I was like, yeah, no, this is not for me.
I really enjoy that myself because I'm a big fan of Lovecraftian sort of storytelling, and that falls under that category. So if you really are into Lovecraft and for those who are in the know, Cthulhu, definitely listen to Limetown.
I wanted to get into that one, but I heard that the episodes are like very few and far in between.
That's the problem. Like they are supposed to be coming out once a week, and they never really delivered on that. But just throw it into your playlist, and when it pops up, you know, just enjoy what you get.
Cool.
On Twitter, John was saying here that he'd reply a little bit more at editing his podcast other than cereal, but he's eating chicken wings from Costco, so he's a little busy.
I love that podcast.
Yeah, I bet there is a podcast about that somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, there has to be.
Anyway, folks, all right, well, we're pretty much done for the return of the Hangout, folks. Just a reminder, this is in podcast form. It will be uploaded over the weekend, so definitely check that out on your favorite podcast device. Just search for Avoiding Chores or Friday Night Hangout. Thank you, everybody, for jumping in tonight. Thank you, everybody, for commenting. Those who commented on Twitter, we'll check a look. Yeah. We'll take a look on YouTube, see what happens. We have a little YouTube issue here. But thanks to Dan, Krista, Lee, and Mike for tonight. Really appreciate you guys jumping in. And we're starting out 2016 pretty good.
That's a race.
All right. Do we have a new sign-off, or is it the same one as before, Krista?
Do we need one for the new year?
No, the old one's good enough.
Yeah.
All right. Good meeting.
Good meeting.
Good meeting.